Backseat Producers, episode 264, Safety Not Guaranteed.
Definitely going to do this right from the beginning. I appreciate the sentiment, but I kind of feel like you should just make a good three movies.
I feel like...
And not have to trick me.
What if it opens where, like, Billy Dee Williams has a Colt 45 and he opens a storybook and he starts, like, reading us the beginning of the third trilogy?
He's just...
Then we
just,
go into the story.
No, he sees it and he's, like, reading to Han and Leia's kids and he pops a Colt 45.
Works every time.
Yeah, the thing is, like, you think...
And then the planet explodes, and then the movie starts.
That's awesome.
You think it's going to, like, turn into the story, like, go into the story as live action? No, it's just him reading for 3 hours.
People would pay to see that.
I'd pay to see
it. I would pay to see it. Absolutely. Right. Colt 45 would pay to see it.
Exactly.
Especially if, like, they only had about 15 minutes of real material, and he just had to, like, ad lib.
And then the next episode is Mace Windu reading the whole story.
Man, I watched Die Hard with a Vengeance today. Goddamn Samuel Jackson.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
All right, so are we doing Return to Oz then?
Do what
Return
you want.
Return to Oz or Argo, vote.
I don't care. We're gonna watch both.
Let's do them both. Let's do Return to Argo. Return to Argo.
Return to Argo.
Argo.
There you go.
Next week.
We blend them. It's a mashup. So let's do Return to Oz, then Argo.
Then Argo, okay.
Give us time to catch up to Argo.
Okay.
Or Argo to catch up to us.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to have time to watch this weekend, so that's my biggest concern.
You'll make the time.
Julie wants to watch it, so I'm going to have to make time where we both can sit down for 2 hours and watch it. And with this being birthday and Easter weekend, my time is short.
True.
Whose birthday?
Mine. Saturday.
Yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations. You didn't die this year.
Yet.
Yeah,
it's kind of got days. I can still hit the mark.
Grillionaires, it's coming.
It's coming.
Grillionaires are dicks.
Table one are dicks.
We were dicks. Remember when we won and we made them announce the win, but we didn't want the prize.
We don't want your prize. We just want you to say they won.
Yeah,
that's all we want. Then they come over and try to give us the prize. No. We don't want that.
No, we don't want
we
that.
Just wanted
We've already. We just already won every friggin' thing.
Said, they're poor losers and poor winners.
Did she really?
That's awesome.
That is the best. That
is the only capper would have been if we had won all that liquor, too. So, we got enough.
Yeah, I love trivia nights. I love going and getting drunk. And...
3 baskets, attendance prize,
and we won
the night.
We swept.
Oh.
Instead of saying, you should just be like, no, we actually have enough stuff. Thanks.
Yeah.
No. Actually, I still have that wine from the last time we won. Nice.
I've been trying to give it away at Sausage Fest for a couple of years now.
We just put it in the wine rack, so it looks like we have wine. Yeah.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
This is Tony.
And this is David.
We're the Backseat Producers.
Hold on, Tony. You're not going to get rid of the part where we're all bragging about how awesome we were in trivia, are you?
No, I'm leaving that. I pretty much started the recording when you were talking about Lando and old Han Solo. I'm just going to leave all that in.
What if there's some sort of gay relationship? Like the Millennium Falcon's all rainbowed out. That would be a good start.
It would
be the Rainbow
start.
Falcon then.
Man, like Leia dies. They could make the opening
the
like
Millennium up. Rainbow.
They could make the opening like up
Fabulous.
Harrison Ford is Carl, but instead of...
I've got that picture.
Yeah, instead of
I've got
the kid,
two of them now.
He picks up Lando and then turns into some weird pseudo-sexual journey through space.
Hope Abrams is taking notes.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Are you writing this down? You know what?
Pure gold, listens. Man.
He listens to the podcast.
He does listen to the podcast.
Send this to Luke. Send this to Disney.
He's a friend of the show.
Not like Duncan Jones.
Not like Duncan Jones. That guy's making the Warcraft movie.
I know.
Did you see the Penny Arcade comic?
No.
It was like, if this is what the Warcraft movie is, I'm in 100 times. And it's like a nerd and then like a jock and a cheerleader get transported from our world to the Warcraft world. And then like it's just a montage of adventures. And then at the end, it's like there's a portal and the jock is like, I'd play Dungeons and Dragons with you any day. Nerd's like, I'm staying here. The only place I've truly ever lived.
That was a book. I read that book.
They made a novelization of the Castlevania Nintendo game that followed the same format. Man, I can't. I'm just telling you
how
it is.
I think it was like the Heroes of Arinor. I can't remember. Something like that. Where like these college kids are playing Dungeons and Dragons and their professor, who's the GM, like is actually
is really, a wizard.
Really a wizard. And yes. Sends them back into the worst world so that they are their characters. And like one is a one-handed dwarf and he goes to smack himself in the face and he just whoosh.
Finally, what happens to did the same thing. It's nice. Only a little less campy.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's funny.
It's funny because then they decide they're going to go back to the real world. And they go back and they're still their characters. So they go like... I read this books in high school. And it was like the one guy is an engineering student. So he breaks into the engineering labs and steals some of the books. So he can go back and start making shit. So he like... learns how to make gunpowder, so they like take over the world, this fantasy land by bringing engineering and gunpowder and physics to it.
This is why we have the Prime Directive, Tony.
Because you can't do that shit.
You can't.
Mark
Hard knew.
The Marx Engineering Handbook, the most deadly weapon on the face of the earth.
Hard knew. Janeway knew. She just didn't care. I kind of like that about her, though. She played fast and loose with the rules.
All right, so next week we are doing Return to Oz, I guess.
Maybe Dorothy does the same thing.
Dorothy does Oz.
That isn't entirely where I was going with that, but I like the way you think.
I think it was you bringing up Super Hornio Brothers.
Super Hornio Brothers is some of the perennial classic of Americana.
All right, so we hinted at this during the opening that we didn't really officially mean to bring up. But we won Trivia Night last week.
No, we not only won.
Well, here's the thing. You don't have the webcam.
Well, I don't know that the word crushed is appropriate.
Yeah, no, we crushed.
Oh, come on. We crushed them. We took half the prizes.
You don't have the camera on, so you can't see. I'm wearing the trophy as a hat. I like this big
it's shorter
gold.
Than the hat you wore last week.
We had so many, yeah. We had so many prizes.
I like my hats.
We had so many prizes, we couldn't really get them all in the car.
That is
we had to turn
that
them.
That is accurate. We had to
turn down prizes.
We had to turn down prizes and trade for smaller prizes.
Both of those things.
Both of those things did happen.
There was a discussion of, do we need to take that home for you because you're not going to have enough room in your car?
Yeah, that happened. And then we got snowed in the next day.
So we can enjoy all our prizes. So bask in our victory.
What, we had like three or four times this year that the weather forecasters have said, oh, it's going to be 6+ inches of snow, yeah. And we'd get a dusting.
Or nothing
at all. So, you know, oh, it's going to be 6 to 10 inches. Right, we're sure, like, whatever. Yeah, why, whatever. I'll go to the grocery store tomorrow. It's game night tomorrow.
Yep.
None of this is going to be a problem.
Then snowmageddon.
Stayed up late, kind of rolled out of bed at 9.
Looked
outside.
Shit.
No, I looked outside, and over here it was still just wet. No snow had started to fall yet. Well, or if it did, it wasn't sticking, and I wasn't wearing my glasses, so I really couldn't see the little stuff. So it's like, I'm going back to bed for a while. Get up like an hour and a half later. It's like, what the hell happened?
And I'm pretty sure it snowed for almost 20 straight hours.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
For a long time.
And heavy, and then got really thick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it goes. Man, I woke up that morning. I was hungover. And Melina's like, we're going to get breakfast. The window's closing. Yeah, sure, whatever. Freaking out about the weather because somebody said it was going to be weather bad. Whatever. She's like, no, it's getting bad. I was looking out the window. I was like, I can't admit I was wrong yet. because it's not assured. So I'm like, that's fine. We'll just go anyway. And we gave up. It was a failure. I still never admitted I was wrong.
Then you won.
Yeah. I'm like Teflon. Nothing sticks to me.
All right. So this week we're talking about safety not guaranteed.
I bet the safety wasn't guaranteed. I got nothing.
That is your best transition ever. What'd you think? I know what you think because you brought it up.
I loved this movie. Period.
I gotta say, I love this movie too.
I thought it was okay, but...
All right, Daryl, you can leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was great.
All right, so in traditional BSP fashion, let's roll through what was awesome about this movie and ignore everything Daryl hated about it. Daryl's the dissenting opinion that no one wants to hear.
I know.
Go figure.
So let's just run down the cast. Who all did a fantastic job. Aubrey Plaza is always fantastic.
I've never seen anything before.
What?
I don't watch Parks and Rec. Or whatever.
That's horrible. You should do that.
It's not on before 10 p.m. Or, I mean, it's not on after 10 p.m.
A DVR over at your crib?
No.
You don't have a VCR over at your crib? You don't have the internet over at your crib?
I do.
It's on Netflix.
Hulu.
I don't have Netflix.
And Hulu.
I don't have Hulu.
Yeah, you do. It's free.
Yeah, you do. It. Hulu's free.
Yeah, but Parks and Rec is free on it? They're not all free.
Like a week or two later.
Oh, okay.
Don't fight me on this,
Deuce.
Sounds
like a lot of work.
All right.
But she was good. She was very good. Perfectly cast. It seems like that might be her personality in real life.
That's the thing. She's the same person.
It's the same character that she plays in Parks and Rec. I wouldn't say she's brilliant. I would say she was well cast.
Yes. Yeah. This was an appropriate role for the only character you ever play.
Yes. Which is fine. I mean,
same thing with Parks and Rec.
If you need that character for that role, she is the perfect person to put there. So kudos to the casting director.
Yes. Or the budget guy.
Yeah, whichever.
Because probably it was more of a budget thing.
Or whoever she was dating that got her the job. Maybe.
I choose to believe that she's dating no one and is saving herself for me.
For you.
Emotionally, sexually.
I can imagine that you do think that way. Yes.
Chronologically. She's saving the best years for me, like locked away in a vault sometime in the future.
This is weird because her picture on IMDb is she's smiling.
Yeah, that is weird. All right, so now I'm going to start forgetting people's names, so I'm just going to fall back on Pete from The League, Mark Duplass.
Mark Duplass, Kenneth in the movie.
He was great.
He was great.
First thing I've ever seen him in.
The League is fantastic.
You need to see about watching The League.
Yeah.
I know I would like The League.
You would like The League.
It's not on
10 p.m. Maybe that's Fear Boner.
Fear Boner.
Fear Boner.
Murder Boner. Share this gift with me.
Sometimes when I shit, I come, look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye. Oh my God, Rafi. Here's the thing about Rafi. You always think, Rafi, it's going to be too much. But it's never too much. It's never too much.
It's always
Rafi.
The right amount.
It's always the right amount with Rafi. I don't understand it. It's like the perfect chord. All right. So I thought Mark Duplass was great. Usually when a movie tries to do like a character who has some sort of psychological flaw, it's either one heavy-handed or that person doesn't actually have any sort of real flaw. It just plays up something minor and over-dramatizes it.
I would argue this guy didn't have a serious psychological flaw.
I know. That's kind of my point.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying it was one or the other and this was different.
This was different. Because I don't think that he had a flaw really at all, but everyone's like, oh yeah, that guy's pretty messed up. Yeah, that guy was fine. Like,
yeah.
Like, there was no problem with that guy. He was fine with it. Like, there was no realization in the end that like, oh, maybe I do have a problem. No.
Well, with the ending, no, there really wasn't.
Well, no lesson was learned. There wasn't the lesson about it. That's what I don't like. I don't like the lesson.
I thought there was a lot of lessons in here, but I was
yeah, but not about that. Not about that.
Not about trying to travel through time.
Not about that.
That's true.
So when I realized that this was a time travel romance,
you're welcome.
I knew why exactly you liked it.
Well, it says in the description of the movie.
I didn't know about that until you suggested we watch it.
I read the description of the movie to Melina.
I did see a preview for this in the theaters, and I couldn't remember the title. And I thought, this movie looks great. And then when you guys said this movie, I was like, oh, okay, I don't know what Safety Not Guaranteed is. I put it in, and in the first 10 minutes, I knew it was this movie. And I was like, yes, it's great. So now I want to hear what Daryl thinks about the movie, because...
I just thought it was okay. I thought it was a fairly decent B movie. I mean, granted, these are not A-list actors and everything else. It's a decent movie. It's watchable. It's enjoyable. It's just not really slam bang or anything. I mean,
Robert Pattinson's slam bang.
It's a fact. I mean, there were parts in it where it seemed like it was dragging a little bit because of the character. Well, I guess call it character development or exploration or explanation, whatever. But it's enjoyable. I mean, I just don't go for the 20-something angst.
Okay, yeah.
Well, 20-something's angst. I'm no direction. Where am I going with my life?
Daryl, I'm a 14-year-old girl. This is my life. Nothing in my life will ever be as important as right here and right now.
So you probably didn't like Garden State that much either, right? Those types of films.
I haven't seen Garden State. I'm going to have to...
Garden State.
Almost the same film.
Okay. That's the homosexual agenda.
It is very, very similar. Thematically.
Yeah.
I mean, there were enjoyable parts, but I also thought there were some parts that were pretty stereotypical, too.
Yeah. You kind of knew where the story was going. It took you...
Well, I didn't really know where the story was actually going. I knew it was going to have its conclusion somewhere, but I didn't expect he would actually pull this off.
Yes. So that was... Watching the movie, it's like, okay, I know exactly what's going to happen with this movie until the end. Like, are they going to go the route where he's just crazy? He's just crazy, and then, like, he gets locked away, and she leaves or waits for him.
Actually,
or some stupid shit.
Pretty early on, though.
That it was going to be real?
Yeah, but I think it's because the tone of the movie prepared me for that.
Yeah.
You know, so when I started to figure out what the movie was, then I thought, okay, he's going to do it. I mean, I didn't know he was going to have the machine that he had, but he was going to be able to do it somehow. Mm-hmm.
I would have expected more what you were thinking, like the is he going to go crazy? Is he going to be crazy if it was a longer movie? I think just the fact that I knew it was a shorter movie, it's less than 90 minutes.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't feel like less than 90 minutes.
No, it felt...
And I liked the movie.
It felt longer than it really was.
It did feel longer than it was, and not in a bad way. It's not that the movie dragged or anything like that. It just felt like it was more of a...
Parts of dragged,
but I just...
They had to
I felt that the story was... I felt that the story was complete. Yeah, I felt
good about the story.
Yeah, I didn't feel like anything was cut, and I didn't feel like anything was really forced into the story to lengthen it at all.
I actually think
not him, but how he related to
the
writer's story. I thought the writer's story was the most interesting story of all.
Yes.
And it was also related to the main story, which I thought all the relationships in a way talked about the other one and the insecurities each individual dealt with. And I thought that was really cool.
Well, I thought his particular segment was pretty unfulfilled because he went back, like try to go back in time himself,
yes,
you know, in a different
yes
way.
Yeah.
But he tried to relive his past and gets upset at the midway when she says, you know, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walks, storms out of there, and that's the last we see of that storyline. And then it's after that, it's him trying to have the angry sex mm-hmm with anything he, you know, anything that has two legs.
And that's not satisfying either for him.
Well, not necessarily either. He tries to put it in terms, well, I'm going to get him laid.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to deny myself. I'm doing you the biggest favor in the world.
Yeah, I think I didn't see it so much like that. I think I saw it as he and her, the woman that he rekindles with,
mm-hmm,
yeah, he wanted to go to the past, but then she opened up a whole new world for him. Mm-hmm. Which she actually lost.
Well, she moved on. He hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's actually too afraid to take the next step, too. And so they both
end up
miss.
Well, they misconnect there at
yeah
the last.
And
what
so,
could be what could be something, a blossoming of a nice little story thread going there, a B storyline.
Yeah.
Then everybody kind of gets what they want at the end. But it didn't happen. It was a bit of a surprise that, you know, that storyline just ended right there.
But what I think is cool about it is when he pulls that other guy out of his shell,
mm-hmm,
I think in some ways that's kind of the point of all that.
You know, because at the end of the movie, I think him experiencing the fact that, what's her name, Darius?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Him experiencing the fact that Darius and that guy actually do pull this off and do take a leap of faith, so to speak, that's enough for him, I think, in the end. Because he kind of like, you know what I mean, lets go at the end of the movie. I'm talking
to him. Starting to put his doubts aside that this guy is not quite as loony as he seems. I mean, when they walk into the workshop and they see all the engineering drawings there and everything, and I think he's starting to get to the point there that there may be something really to this. Because the whole part of the story has been contrived to say that this guy's pretty loony, because we never see anything going through the movie where he's actually acting semi-sane. He always seems to be
I disagree with that. I think when he sees all that stuff, I think he's fully invested into the idea that you have to live in the moment and take the ride where it's going to take you. We're on the train. We're here. We're in the moment. We've been approached by the feds, and this guy's got some crazy shit in his place. This can only get cool. Yeah. And that's kind of the mentality
he takes.
This
story suddenly got really interesting.
Regardless of whatever happens, I'm going to have a great story to write. I don't know how it's going to end. Let's just ride it out. And let's jump in feet first and just go with it. And I think that's kind of the mentality
now,
that he gets to.
Story thread they didn't pick up on and kind of dropped was when Darius gave his friend that box full of money. He didn't really explain very much why he had done that or what it was kind of for. He just sort of muttered something about his wife's been sick or whatever.
They basically, I just think they need the money.
Yeah, I know.
Because of the cancer or the cost or whatever it was.
Well, that's just it. We never really find what's really going on between those two. We just know that his co-worker. We don't know how close they are.
I thought it was implied that guy was nice to him when he worked there.
Right.
Like everybody else treated him crazy.
Yeah, everybody else treated him like he was crazy, and he listened to his stories.
Yeah.
And he was leaving. He didn't need the money, so...
And you could tell he didn't judge him, because all he said was, I hope wherever he wants to get to, that he gets there.
Yeah.
He didn't really have...
And that was awesome, because it was just like, I have faith that he is going to be going to a better place.
Right.
Wherever that may be.
Suicide cult activate. Yeah, but a little more backstory there would have been nice.
I was fine with it, not with them not explaining it.
Yeah,
that was a nice little indie touch.
I don't remember much in the way of context clues for that, but that's what I remember about that. So even if they don't say anything, that's generally what I just assumed to happen.
Well, it tells you two things about the main character. That's why it's there. One, it tells you that he's a generous person, and two, it tells you that he also really believes it, because who would give away
everything,
all of their money, unless they really believed they were going to go travel through time.
Right.
So, you know, that was like a big character development point for the off-screen character, actually, in that scene. So, I'm out. I got nothing.
Fucking lasers. What kind of lasers? I don't know. I'm not a freaking stormtrooper.
Now, one thing I did see in the show notes in the production of this film, that they used a Sony handheld high-definition camera to do all the filming of this thing.
I really get into Disney films. I don't even mind that they used that instead of a real camera.
Well that is a real camera.
I know it's a real camera, but you know what I mean.
It's not film.
Yeah, it's not like a $50,000 film.
Most aren't using
film. But the thing is, it does not have the
Tony,
movie does
I
not
need
3D
cameras.
The movie does not have that video quality to it. So they did some nice image processing on it to give it a rather filmy look.
I would agree with that. Because you have to also put what limited special effects there are. Mm-hmm. You have to make it work with the rest of the look of the film. No. So, you know.
Well, and there was a really nice special effect at the end.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was probably most of the film's budget right there.
Yeah,
I don't think special effects are quite as expensive as they used to be.
Well, not a short one like that.
But they did a really nice, short, elegant special effect that looked real.
Elegant and of a refined palette.
It did.
With an easy finish.
It did. I would say that single special effect was more elegant than 95% of the effects in The Hobbit.
I would agree.
Accurate. God damn that white orc.
I didn't have a problem with the white orc.
You don't watch Spartacus.
You're right. I don't.
You don't know the guy who does the voice. The guy is built like
a Greek god.
You probably just were thrown off because you weren't seeing his penis.
I've only seen that guy's penis once.
Well.
And he was just beheaded. Spoiler.
Which head?
The top one. The smaller one. The top one.
It's great to be back on the show.
Yeah. So. Dick talk activate. We're like the Dick Voltron. Space station.
Oh my god.
You're welcome.
Tony's dying, but we don't really care about this. Let's just keep talking. Just pretend nothing's happening.
It's all choked up.
Get so excited.
It's all that dick talk.
Yeah.
Oh, man, so I like the little touches of, is it Duplass?
Mark Duplass?
Yep. Duplass's character, the way he told stories. I think the writing was really good. There were a lot of things that happened that reflect on things that happened earlier. And you can see that even though he knows he's going to travel through time, the rest of it he's completely faking. Like the ad, whether he's going to find anyone, and why he's going back, which I think he pretty much based off of her story for why she's going back. And he's a very insecure individual in a lot of ways. And he obviously had problems as a kid with his ears. But then the little moments where he's talking about Star Wars characters, you know, because they were lonely when he was really lonely, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, it was just really well written. I thought the character was very complete.
I'm confused by something you just said, though. You said that
he based his story off her story.
Yeah, his story. I
thought was real.
It was real, but it was real, but the details of it were broken.
Exactly. So when she tells her story, his story just becomes an overlay of what her story was when she told it to him. He rearranges the facts to make it sound like the reason she's going back, which is an authentic reason.
I disagree. I think that the story he tells is the story that he has allowed himself to believe is true.
I don't know if that's true.
Because
I don't think he's that erotic.
He says that she was killed, that she died when some drunk guy ran into her house. Which, if you look at his story from a certain point of view, that's true. Their relationship was dead when some drunk guy, him, ran into her house. And he knew then, and he learned, that she was dead to him because she was with somebody else.
Yeah, but
I think that pushes the Star Wars metaphor even harder.
Well, that's a good point. But I think all I saw it as was he basically, once you find out she's alive, and then she tells the story, you go, okay, this guy really regrets something dumb that he did. And he wants to go back and fix it. But the way he tells the story to her, I interpreted it as he got the source material for how to rearrange the facts from her authentic story. Yeah, which you didn't even know if she was telling the truth or not at the time. That was really well done.
Why would he have so passionately been trying to time travel if he didn't believe that it was something as real and permanent as death? If it was something that she's just living in the other town.
Because
he seemed genuinely surprised when she said, she's alive, I found her, I talked to her.
I didn't buy that. I didn't think he was genuinely surprised. I think he was covering a little
You're
bit.
You're wrong.
So why would he go back? Because he doesn't belong to the current world. And he talks about that. He basically says, you know, you hear a song, it takes you back to that time and that place, and you can never get that back. And that's what he wants to do, because he's very insecure about who he has become, and he wants to go back. And she's the one who actually helps him move forward in a way, even though they go back in time.
And I understand that, but I think, and the more I think about the film now, I don't like that they time traveled, because it doesn't make sense. If they found that in each other, with the exception of that they were able to escape because he had stolen a bunch of shit and the feds were after him. I mean, for that matter, it was cool that they got that escape, but there was no point in it for their story because they didn't. If they had healed each other, if their coupling had
Tony,
gotten
this is
past
the gayest
that.
Thing you've ever said.
If their coupling had healed each other.
Hey, it's a very important day for equal rights.
Oh, did they reach a decision?
I don't know.
I don't think they did.
I don't think so. I'm just...
Here's what's going to happen. They're not going to.
They're just
going
to throw it back to the States.
Yeah, that's what's
which is
happen.
Appropriate. Anyway, I don't think that them being sent back in time fixed anything. I think it was fixed before then.
Well,
and so it kind of made it...
I don't think there's anything to fix when they go back in time, although they do say that they're going to try to save... They're going to do her mission. So there is a reason to go, but... I agree.
Anybody
that
who understands time travel knows, though, that will break the continuum.
Yeah, but do you really think this movie thought that far in advance about it?
What
would
been,
that's why they don't show what happens. So they could just die.
Yeah, they could have just died. Yeah. And you know what? I would almost. If they would just turn into a big pile of goo, that would have actually been one of those. Whoa.
the time travel ending is. The step on the white horse and ride off into the sunset. Afterwards.
But I want to still, I still want a moment of realization of where did they end up.
I know you want that, but that doesn't serve the story because the story is about.
It would have served again. What? No, what would have served the story is that they traveled and they traveled to the future, because that would have been the metaphor that they have moved on and they are living their lives.
No, because based on your theories. They wouldn't have to travel to the future if they're moving forward in their own lives.
Well, that's just the symbolic. That's just symbolic slam in your face, is what that is.
Yeah. I like how it just disappeared. You don't know what happened to him.
Yeah,
I like that better than they did the build up and then cut it right before anything happens. If they'd have done that, I'd have been pissed.
Really?
I was much happier that they just did the disappearing act. And the question is, did they die or did they have some time travel?
The top in Inception.
Yeah, I don't want that. I'm tired of that. That's not an ending to a movie. You know what else is weird about this movie? That always tell you, like, if you're a writer, show, don't tell. But this movie is like 95% tell. But it's told in pieces that don't work together. So the storytelling works by telling and not showing.
Yeah, but see, now... This is probably why I'll never get published, but I don't know what show but not tell means. You tell everything in a novel or in a story. So
no.
I think the show but don't tell stuff, it's just a metaphor for someone who wants more dialogue and less description. That's really all.
Whoa. No, I want less dialogue and more action.
Well, but...
Don't tell me about how you climbed the tree. Just climb the tree.
In a film, you show with visuals, okay? That
I don't know what
sense.
A movie is.
But
the visual is a picture of a dude telling you something.
In a written format, anytime you extend description, which is basically a visual, they're saying, oh, well, you're telling and you're not showing. Which amounts to basically you have to throw two characters into a scene to be able to talk to each other to show. I mean, so
I don't need two characters to masturbate. But I don't want to tell you about it later. So I was jerking off last night and ... It was like how every conversation in high school started. There was like this transformation that like 2 years prior, I don't masturbate. And then like 2 years later, every story started with, so I was masturbating last night, comma. I don't know what high school you went to.
So all that being said, far, far away and a long time ago. So all of that being said.
So you were playing with your lightsabers, that you're saying?
I got crystal everywhere.
My point was, I don't think it's bad to have a story where people talk about
things
their
that
memories or things that have happened. Or I don't think it's good for characters to recall off screen events that you should be shown. But I don't think it's a big deal for people to talk about.
I think
things
that
can inform the character. I
incredibly goddamn overused. This is the way that Life of Pi is constructed. That he does do a significant portion of narration about the things that happened to him, but it's interspersed with the action of those things actually happening to him.
But it's Taxi Driver in a way, and without spoiling it, and that's why it works.
No, it doesn't work. The ending could have been great. The ending was really shitty.
I thought it was awesome.
Well,
we'll talk about that.
Maybe we will, if Tony buckles down and watches a tiger eat some people.
If that's what it's about. I could probably get Holden in on for that one.
Yeah, he did seem to be pretty fascinated with the eating thing.
His sharks eating people thing is...
He could be on that for a while.
Yeah. Should bring him back for Jaws 2.
Shark Week. Mm-hmm. Do a BSP live feed of Shark Week.
We could do that.
No, it's Gen Con Week.
Oh, yeah.
So, I guess my total summary of this movie was that I dug it. Jake Johnson was great.
Jake Johnson was great.
Is he the writer?
Yeah. Mostly because that guy's pretty funny, just in general.
Yeah.
He's got that, there's this, like, this lazy stoner tone of voice that he uses that really resonates with me. Like, I really understand and accept this voice.
I just want to know how he could carry a bottle of whiskey out onto the go-kart track and nobody cares. He's
it's
like
Seattle.
Drinking the yeah. whiskey.
It's late at night. Nobody's there.
Out on a go-kart.
Mm-hmm.
Who didn't somebody
go-karting while intoxicated?
That might not be a good idea. Did we have him sign the waiver? He's drinking a bottle of whiskey.
If there's nobody on the track, they probably slipped him an extra $50 and said, "Hey, just don't look the other way.
Yeah,
take a break."
When money starts coming out, then
he's on an expense account. Remember, so
that's true. That's true.
Yeah, so we're all going to share a room.
Yeah. Have to make that per diem last.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, they did in go karts and whiskey.
It's like the hookers and blow of small town America.
Research material. I'm schmoozing the clients. It's interview time.
That's right.
I've really been getting into these indie movies lately.
Really?
Did we talk about Desperately Seeking a Friend for the End of the World?
I saw that.
We have not.
It's a great movie.
I haven't seen it.
All right, let's put it on the list.
Steve Carell's serious stuff is really good.
I think the thing that I thought was most interesting about it is I bought that he and Keira Knightley could fall in love. That was a huge stretch for me at the beginning of the movie.
Well, yeah, like, the world was ending was not the stretch. Keira Knightley and Steve
falling in love with Steve Carell.
Keira Knightley could get over the size of his nose. And then...
So.
Damn, that was a good movie.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, put it on the
you
list.
Should also watch Everything Must Go with Will Ferrell.
I haven't seen that one either.
I haven't seen
it's
that
fantastic.
One
either. Ferrell.
It's fantastic. It's another indie movie.
Tony, what have you seen lately?
We watched Prince of Thieves over the weekend.
Excellent choice.
Prince of Thieves.
Robin Hood.
Yeah, with
Costner.
Yeah. It's like Melina's favorite movie. I've seen it a million times.
Really?
I do love that movie, though.
That movie's rough. It is,
really?
It's rough. Terrible.
It's rough.
It's really bad.
The thing that makes the movie worth watching is Alan Rickman.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Rickman makes the movie worth watching. They had to.
I'm just in love with it because of my childhood.
So we watched it. We watched it on
Can't
Ovation.
Go back.
Yeah, I know, but I still love it. Like I put it in and I feel like, oh, this is so fun. This is so cool.
Watch it with a critical eye.
Well, I have. I've done that too. I think the fact that Robin Hood's the only one that speaks in an American accent is really weird. But
yeah,
I don't have a problem with that.
There are two
English accents.
There are two things that I really enjoy about the movie. One is Alan Rickman. Period.
Yep.
And the Sean Connery cameo at the end. That was I liked that.
I liked it too.
I liked that.
Yeah. I thought Morgan Freeman was pretty great in it. I thought that.
I think Morgan Freeman's a great actor who was in this movie.
Two separate
thoughts.
If you know who Kevin Costner is going into it, it's not a big deal. It's supposed to be like a popcorn movie.
Except it was fairly early in his career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still,
Tony. I think we all know this was post Waterworld.
No,
it wasn't.
Was it not?
It was pre-Waterworld.
I love Waterworld.
Waterworld's a good movie.
Waterworld's a damn good movie.
So we watched it on Ovation, which instead of doing they do like commercial breaks, but the commercial breaks are really just an excuse for them to read IMDb trivia, which is really cool. So like they take a break and they read you some IMDb trivia, and then they go back into the movie. And
what a great way to capitalize on somebody else's work.
It really is. But they said that they had to tone down about halfway through production. The producers were concerned, so they had to tone down Rickman's performance because they were worried he was upstaging Costner.
He did,
which is absolutely true.
Yeah, but
he upstaged him.
They have toned it down. He was pretty.
No, they did tone him down.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently, he was even more
over the top. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was.
Yeah. Well,
great.
Here's the difference. Alan Rickman's a really good actor.
Yeah.
And Kevin Costner's Kevin Costner.
Yep. Yeah. When he came on screen, I was like, that's Snape! Yes, it is.
Snape.
And in a few years, you'll be able to watch him be a character called Hans Gruber.
True.
Julie was like, that's Hans Gruber too? Yes, it is.
Sure goddamn is.
And good for you for knowing who I was talking about.
And he's the angel in Dogma.
Yes.
And he's the angel.
And that is a
The Metatron.
Yeah, Metatron.
Not Voice
Megatron.
Of God. He's a not Megatron.
Oh, Metreon. No, Metatron sounds right.
Metatron.
Sounds right.
Ooh,
I enjoy Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. You put that in, I'd sit down and watch it anytime. I know what it is, but I still enjoy the heck.
And that's fine.
It's no Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen.
See, that's you reliving your childhood.
That came out like 5 years ago.
Didn't we discuss this already? You think I graduated in the 50s. I mean, we don't even, you know, time is not relevant here.
Optimus Prime says, give me your face. And then he puts his fist through some dude's face.
Face off.
It's no face off.
Face off was
nope.
Interesting.
Instant American classic.
That's the film for your childhood, that right there. Is it 98? That puts it about right.
No. The film from my childhood that I can't get over and have a natural sexual fascination with is 8 Days a Week, but we've already discussed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
That was a good movie. Daryl? Movie from your childhood?
Ooh, boy. Dang. It's going to reach back across the decades.
Crawl.
Crawl? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it was a terrible ripoff of Conan.
It is terrible. But goddamn, I loved that movie when I was a kid. Oh my god. It had like this ridiculously high budget and like failed miserably, but it was one of those movies that was on like every like 3 times a day through one summer when we had cable. It was like, I'm just gonna stay and watch this movie again. Yeah. Twice today. And then one more time tomorrow, and then 2 times the day after that. Yeah, it was bad. And I've watched the movie since, and it's not great.
It doesn't hold up.
It's certainly not Arnold Schwarzenegger punching a camel.
No, it does, yeah.
Or biting a raven in half.
It's true. It's none of those things.
It's not those things.
But if I'm not mistaken, Liam Neeson is in Krull.
Stop it.
Right here. Liam Neeson.
I'm not doubting that he's in it. I just told you to stop it.
All right. That's all I got.
I'm done too.
I have to give props to Jenica Berger. I don't know if that's
how she... Is that the lady?
Liz? I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, she was good.
Yeah. I thought... I loved her character and what she meant to Jeff, the writer. And I just liked how that whole thing played out. Their whole little relationship and... Him trying to get, like, he has this epiphany that he needs to be with her. And she's like, just get out.
Yeah.
We're not going to do this. This is not what this is about.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was great.
I really liked that.
I have an Escalade, you know. Got a great condo. My job is awesome. Yeah.
No. So
what's going on with your life? I just told you.
Exactly. Yeah. I loved their whole... How that relationship evolved in those just few scenes.
Yeah.
That was really well done.
Yes, it was very well done.
Oh, Tony, she was in a movie called Balls to the Wall.
Oh, that better be on Netflix.
She was also in The Wizards of Waverly Place.
Wow.
Well, guys, that sounds like I gotta watch Prince of Thieves tonight, so...
Man, what is going on over there?
I'll wrap it up unless you guys have anything else.
She was also in Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer.
It's gotta keep on going.
Man, IMDb is the worst.
It is.
Remember when we didn't have IMDb?
I know.
We actually had to come up with content for this program.
I actually had to watch the movie.
I think people took notes.
I tried that once. It didn't work out for me.
I love how half of IMDb is probably not true anyway.
I don't care.
They're always coming out with movies that never get made. I've been waiting for Raging Bull 2 for like 9 years.
I think De Niro's been waiting for like 30.
The Bronx Bull, a.k.a. Raging Bull 2. It's supposed to be released in 2013. That's this year.
That is this year.
Were you here when we talked about Limitless? Man, we talked about De Niro for like 45
minutes. No, I wasn't here, but I heard the podcast. Mm-hmm. It was good stuff.
No, we didn't record that.
No?
It was a figment of your imagination.
You guys dumped the original recording and gave us the ham hand.
So not this timeline.
All listened to. All
Raging Bull 2, now titled The Bronx Bull, following lawsuit.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Probably Joey LaMotta suing them again or something.
Hey, man. You know what's weird? You hear about this lawsuit that they brought against the goddamn groundhog?
Yes.
What? So
here's, for making a bad prediction.
So here's the thing.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, if you're such a fucking retard that you're looking for a goddamn groundhog to predict the next 6 weeks' worth of weather...
I don't think that's a serious lawsuit.
It isn't.
Well, they already dropped it. But
yeah, I mean, I think it was for...
But here's the thing. These traditions that this country has like that are weird and really stupid, and people need to move past it. These traditions only recognizes
what hold what on they
to
are.
Pointless things that they need to move past.
Do you think people really believed that the groundhog predicted the weather?
No, but I think that there were thousands of people standing around to watch the groundhog come out of the hole for no goddamn reason.
Who cares?
I care. It's
who
dumb.
Who are we going to wait to come? Is Al Gore going to see a shadow and go back and we get 6 more weeks of winter? Who's going to do this if the Punxsutawney Phil doesn't do
maybe. He's busy inventing Internet 2.
Internet 2.
Could.
Oh, but here's the thing:
IPv8.
When they perfect graphene, he's going to take credit for graphene. It's going to be awesome.
Raging Bull 2 is no longer called Raging Bull 2, as EW.com reports. The controversial sequel to the 1980 classic Raging Bull is now titled The Bronx Bull, the nickname of the film's subject, former boxer Jake LaMotta. Even further, The Bronx Bull is not actually a sequel to Raging Bull anymore, according to joint statement from Raging Bull Studio MGM and Raging Bull 2 producer Dahlia Weingort.
Oh, it was an MGM thing.
The parties, quote, the parties have amicably reached a resolution of their pending litigation pursuant to which production of a film based upon certain events of the life of Jake LaMotta will proceed under the working title The Bronx Bull, they said. That film is not related in any way to the 1980 motion picture entitled Raging Bull, and MGM is not associated with the film in any respect. Neither party will have any further statements regarding this matter.
I hate the law.
In short, though, this movie's going to happen. That's very exciting.
That's the way it sounds.
That's awesome.
We will not make a sequel, really, but we will not also call
it... What I love is they go through this whole article about how it's not called Raging Bull anymore. Everything is... The last line of the article is... For more on Raging Bull 2, head on over to EW.com. Beautiful. Oh,
man. Maybe we'll see, like, Rocky Balboa. We'll see, like, 7 Raging Bulls before this is all over.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just teasing. Jake LaMotta's too old for that.
That's a pile of Raging Bulls. Hey, man, are you watching the show The Following?
Not yet. I've been recording it. I have not watched it yet.
So, I was really concerned in the beginning that they would pull this thing where it's like, oh, Kevin Bacon, he's conflicted when he has to kill people. Nope. That mother murders 5 to 6 people an episode. He's not law enforcement. He just has a gun and murders people. It is the best thing ever. I don't even really like the show, but I appreciate the fact that he just murders people indiscriminately.
Surely, though.
And no one stops him.
Surely, though,
there's no
he's
discussion
a contract killer who's trying to put his past behind him, but he has to do just one more job.
No, he's working with he's working with the FBI.
Oh. Well, surely,
murderous
then,
bunch.
He's just being haunted by his past.
No, he's hunting out cultists.
Oh, okay.
Well, surely, like, did they win? Did the cultists take one of his family members and kill them?
Exactly.
Kinda.
Okay.
All right, well, there we go.
There you go. Here's the hook.
If they were playing werewolf, he's the vigilante.
Oh.
Man, I got to tweet that. That shit's gold, man. I got to get that out there. Hurry! Hurry!
Hurry before somebody steals
hurry!
It. All right,
hurry.
Let's be done.
If the
next week, return to Argo.
Following
return to Argo. Return to Oz.
Was
and then the
a game
Argo. Yes.
Of werewolf. Man. Oh, go ahead, guys. Don't make
we're,
me
we're
let
done.
Me stop you. Yes. Werewolf.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye. See you next week.
Kevin Bacon. No,
this is the
Bacon.
Show that never ends.
Would be the vigilante. Booyah, man.
I love that you're like sounding out everywhere.